turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money at Menards.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday and a holiday. Happy MLK Day on The Usual Suspects. But more important than that, well, not more important than that, but a very important fact is, the band is back together. Trader Nick is back from a fantastic excursion that I can't wait to hear about from Vegas. And Barry and I are in studio, and so we're here to entertain you for the next 3 hours, and hopefully y'all had a great weekend, and you enjoyed Referee Gate and all kinds of things. What's up, fellas?
What up? What's going on?
What's up?
Well, you got a lot. We want to, I mean, I personally, I don't know about you, Barry. I want to know what happened in Vegas.
It was fun. I mean, it was another fight week in Vegas, so there was a lot of fans.
Good. A
lot of fun. A lot of interesting characters. So, yeah, I had a blast, man. I can't complain.
Were you, what?
It's almost Dr. Phil-ish when you get into it, because it's like, okay, that's all fun and dandy. You're sitting there, were you
disappointed by the fight?
I was disappointed in the fact
it kind of sucked, right?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't Broner didn't do well.
So that wasn't the highlight of the trip, I'm guessing, was my point that I was getting to.
The highlight for me was getting to meet Michael Blackson. That was a huge highlight for me.
Were you hoping, now his Instagram is notorious for people making fun of him and people he takes pictures with. Were you hoping that there would be some sort of picture of you and him on his Instagram?
Not really. I just wanted the picture. I didn't even know that they made fun of people that he takes pictures with.
Sometimes, like, he'll be taking a picture with fans, and if he's wearing something crazy, they'll include the fans in whatever they make fun of him.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I was hoping that would happen.
I mean, I put it on Instagram. I didn't see anybody take any shots, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't see anything. But yeah, his Instagram is brutal, for sure.
Was that tweet you put out, was that where you were sitting for the fight?
Yeah.
That was a pretty good view.
It wasn't bad at all. It was on the very front row. It wasn't quite floor seats, but it was the very first row that's behind.
That's awesome.
Floor seats. So yeah, it was good seats. And there was a lot of Filipino fans. Manny Pacquiao, I mean, they were represented well. I just thought Broner is an absolute idiot with the way he acts, but I guess we all kind of knew that already.
Could you hear the Jim Gray post-fight interview in the stadium, or did you have to listen to it on the internet later?
No, I heard it in the stadium.
Okay. Or whatever.
No, actually, I did hear it later because I wanted to bounce out of the MGM Grand Arena because it's really hard to get out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll have that. I have that audio. We can play. But yeah, that post-fight interview was probably the funniest thing I've seen.
So while you were there, what was the most exciting thing you did?
What did I do different? Well, I met up with friends that I haven't seen in 15 years.
Nice.
Cool.
So two friends, I've only seen them twice in 15 years, and one of them, I had not seen him in 15 years. So we went out and we just caught up, went to the Chandelier Bar, went to Cosmo, tried these new fancy drinks that they have. They have
Cosmo.
This
Cosmo.
Cosmopolitan.
No, you're fancy.
Yeah. Well, the Cosmo is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it is.
It's super nice. Fancy.
I mean, I just walked through there and had a drink. It's not like I was staying there. So
big pimping.
Top shelfy.
Yeah. Have y'all been to the
I have been to
I
the
know
Cosmo.
Of it.
It's nice.
I'm not fancy. Nice. I have not stayed there.
Yes, that's what I mean.
I stay at Sam's
Sam's Club.
No, not Sam's Club. Isn't there a Sam's Casino or something like that?
I've never heard of that.
I think so. Yeah. That's where I stay.
There's the Nugget.
No. What places have you stayed at in Vegas?
Palm, the Hilton, MGM, New York.
So you've done a lot.
A lot. Well, in my previous life, there was a lot of getting to Vegas and letting it rip, too.
You? I know you were at the MGM
Venetian,
a couple times, right?
MGM, Bellagio. New York, Palazzo.
Bellagio?
Palazzo.
No, have you been to Bellagio?
Oh, Bellagio. No, I've not.
There's another.
That's super nice, but I've never been.
That's
probably one of the best ones, if not the best one.
Yeah.
You can make the argument for. Venetian is comparable to the Bellagio, but I still think the Bellagio is nicer.
I'm with you.
Man.
But yeah. I stayed at the Hooters, which was terrible.
I've never seen the Hooters Hotel, but I'm not going to say why I stayed at the Bellagio one time.
Well, then why bring it up?
Because I've stayed at the Bellagio, and it's fantastic.
Okay.
It is absolutely, like Nick is saying,
amazing.
It's top shelf.
I like the MGM Grand, but it seems like the rooms are dated now.
I would agree with that.
Like it's old and...
I feel like that about New York, but I feel like in terms of dated casinos, they do a pretty good job of maintaining, if you will.
Uh-huh.
MGM actually does a pretty good job about updating their the rooms, but yeah. I mean, they're not... There's some casinos that are going through that phase of... This is starting to look like it was built in the 20s. You know what I mean? Or not the 20s, but like 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah. I've only stayed at MGM and the Luxor. That's it.
So you've been seen by space.
I don't think I've stayed anywhere else. Yeah, that light is supposedly you can see it from space. But yeah, I don't think I've stayed anywhere else. I think that's the only two places.
I stayed at the Luxor too, but the Pyramid one, that's the dated one where all the AC units are not.
Yeah.
But the one, the Luxor next to it, the newer building.
Oh, there's a newer Luxor?
Yeah.
It's not a Pyramid?
No. Those are nicer.
It's been forever since I've been to Vegas.
Yeah, those are nicer.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So, how many whores
were walking around that I did
not
pick
up? See how I set that up?
All that.
But I love it.
I knew he was going to get to it.
Seriously, it's great.
I'm surprised it took 7.5 minutes.
I was setting it up.
He breaks the ice and everybody gets kind of casual. And that's about the time that if you're on TV, he kind of leans back, crosses his legs, and goes, so why don't you tell me about it?
I was like, Pacquiao, I was just throwing that jab out, just letting you relax a little bit, drop that right hand. Whores over the top. I kid, of course. What'd you do for fun while you were there?
I hung out with my friends. I gambled a lot more this time.
Did you win?
I'm down.
First
probably.
Night you won, right?
First night I didn't lose money. I got fourth place in the tournament.
Yeah.
So I won $15, but I didn't win anything.
Well, you won the respect of one Fred Fowler and
yes,
AJ Hoffman.
Yeah, they were talking about it.
Did you knock them out of the tournament?
I think I knocked AJ out, if I'm not
mistaken.
Nice. I think.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I outlasted both of them anyway, so it didn't matter whether I did or not. I was just happy I was able to last that long.
That's what I'm talking about.
Dude, you put that one in your back pocket. You use that whenever you want.
I know. I will. Yeah. But I've been to like two tournaments where I've been one of the first two to be knocked out.
Well, next time you see them, or like next time we're all at like one of the poker places here, you should just offer them some advice. Be like, hey, look.
This is what you do here.
Yeah, I know you guys didn't last as long as I did. So if you have any questions or you need some help, let me know. I'll be glad to give you some pointers so you can last as long as I do in a tournament.
And honestly, full disclosure, I would not have gotten the $80 paid if the table we were sitting at, they had players with some good poker etiquette. And so apparently there's like this bubble situation. So really the first three players were supposed to get paid only.
Oh, but they let you...
But what they did as a courtesy...
They chop the pot.
Everybody puts like this 20 into this cup holder, and then they give it to the fourth place guy, and it just happened to be me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so they didn't even chop the pot with you. You just got the tip jar.
Everybody put like $20. It was four people left. Uh-huh. Everybody put a 20 in this cup holder, and I was like, okay, man, I'm just going to go by your word. Here's a 20. Like, I don't know if this is right, but I'm going to do it. And then I'm the one who got bounced. So when I got fourth place, they gave me the $80 right there on the table. So,
look at that.
Yeah, it worked out great.
Oh, good for you, man.
See, I thought you got paid when they were talking about it because Barry's, look, they were talking about it and they were propping you up. It was impressive. Fred and AJ, when they were
the
talking.
Blitz, okay.
Yeah, and I was like, well, so I thought, man, you cashed out. And then you were kind of off mic and you're like $80. But then when I had to pay out and do other things to get in, it didn't come out. I was like, damn, I was thinking a couple hundo or something.
No, it was just the $80. The tournament was 65, so I got 80 back. And then I did another $65 tournament, which I lost, a $40 tournament, which I lost. And then I played a couple cash games, which I lost. So, yeah, the odds work against you, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
You're not a big loser until you answer this question. Did you end up having to room with Crate?
No, they didn't tell me until after the first night.
That's, I mean, now you're a winner. All across the board, you're a winner. Doesn't matter how much money you lost, you didn't have to room with Patrick Crayton.
Yeah, and I right when I checked in, that's kind of the first reason I ran to the... Right when I checked in, it said, you're checking out Sunday. I assumed that they were going to say, well, you're checking out Saturday and you're moving to this room. But they didn't say that, so I didn't, you know. Uh-huh. So I followed up the next day, and they're like, oh, no, we were concerned that we would not have a hotel room for you, but we got one.
Cool.
So,
that's great.
Yeah,
that is great.
It worked out.
Yeah. Anything else? Fun?
Nothing. I mean,
Man, this is lame.
Nothing else. Did the gummies, but outside of that, no.
Oh, yeah?
Did Crate?
I gave him one on the flight back. He passed out on the flight, yeah. Yeah, he passed out on the flight.
One?
Because
one for him was enough?
He didn't wake up. I told him that they didn't know that on Southwest you can watch the game because our flight was during the Rams game.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know that you can watch, like, Southwest actually has a good live feed to watch live TV on. So I gave him the link to both of them, like, try this link. It worked, but Creighton didn't wake up until overtime because of the gummy. So he didn't catch none but the overtime. So
I feel like one gummy wouldn't be enough.
Here we go.
On a plane, it might.
Here we go. What? I'm just saying, like,
you're the one that always bust my chops for not being sincere and picking on Cody and Crayton.
Oh, well, there's a reason for that.
No, there's not.
Yeah, there is.
No, there's not.
Well, I'll tell you offline. you don't want me to tell you. But I'm saying I would feel like it would take more than a single gummy.
I think the fact that he was on a plane sitting down, I think it makes it a bit different. Like, I was tempted to fall asleep as well.
Okay.
I ate more than one, though, so he's, you know.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so.
Okay. I thought it was great. I told Barry last week, he sent me a text because I had heard the Blitz talking about the fact that he wasn't with y'all the first night, but that he possibly would want to try gummies.
Yeah.
And I was like, so he texted me. I was like, dude, this is a big night for you. If you try the gummies, and he's like, I don't know. But he was either voice texting or he blamed it on Siri. He said, I don't know. Nick and AJ really want to see me naked, but I'm just not sure I'm going to do this. And then, of course, he waited and then I was delayed, and all of a sudden he put star baked. I don't know how that happened. Damn it, Siri. And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't want to see you naked, but yeah, it's fine. It's part
of the deal. Fun. It was so funny because I had three or four left and I was very tempted to try to clear security with it. And I didn't. I made the decision not to. And then AJ was like, bro, you could have just cleared and it's not illegal here yet. And if they said anything, they would have just taken it.
That's exactly what I said.
And I totally forgot about that.
If it's legal in that state, you can fly with it. It's when you land that you could get in trouble. If
now,
they radio
you?
Ahead, be like, hey, there's a shirara with... watch
so
out! Yeah, that could be bad. But because I talked about that with one of my friends from LA when I was out there, they were like, yeah, you can totally fly. Like, if you get on... Because it's legal there. It's just like, oh, yeah, this is a substance that's totally legal here.
Right. So I had two of them left. I was like, whatever, I'll just throw away the last two. All right, no big deal. I go into security, not where you take your shoes off, but like the very first person who just checks your boarding pass and your ID.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy next to me reeks of weed. Like, it's obvious. So she's like, I smell somebody. And then she looks at me, and then she turns her head and starts to look at him.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, is that you? And he's like, yeah, it's me. She rolls her eyes, gives him the ID and the boarding pass back and says, happy early birthday, and just lets him go. And he reeks. And this is, he's walking into the security part where he's clearing.
But is that
it's
an
legal
issue
there?
Yeah, I was going to say, is that a problem?
I don't know. I just, that made me more mad. I was like, really? Just like that?
Now,
but she rolled her eyes.
My question would be, is it legal to be stoned in public? Because you can't be drunk in public. That's public intoxication.
Right, I know you're not supposed to.
I wonder if it's the same thing if you're high in public.
You're not supposed to smoke in public, but everybody does.
Right.
I don't know if you're not supposed to be high in public. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know
then
if you can or not.
The interesting thing to your point, Barry, is when you land, you could have been in a lot of trouble, but Houston lightened up on a lot of the different things if you get caught with less a minimal amount.
It's like
amount legal
now to have a certain amount.
Like,
but
yeah, you don't have
medicinal, right?
No. It's just deregulated. It's not illegal. It's just you take a class.
Yes.
As long as they're as long as below, I think, 2 ounces or something like that, you take a class and you get a ticket. You don't go to jail.
It's like defensive driving for like a...
For potheads?
Yeah, for potheads is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, we got much more to catch up on, and, of course, lots of sports to talk about as well. So if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, you can call, you can text, and, of course, you can hit us up on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink. Go to culturemap.com. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Just getting started. Usual suspects on an MLK day as we say happy MLK day. And don't lose sight of the fact that it's not just a free day for you to play. You know, take a little time, learn a little history, appreciate a pretty influential and important dude. In the history of this company, in the history of this country, and I knew you'd get all of them, but, you know, that and the fact that a couple birthdays as well. Although I didn't realize, I guess MLK would have been what, 90 today?
I don't know.
Wow. But happy birthday to Akeem Olajuwon, Nick, one of your favorites. Dream,
yeah,
56. Love the Dream. Back in town.
Almost so, 60.
And then Lance Zierlein.
Oh, it's his birthday today.
Nice. Yeah. So happy birthday to those guys as well. There you go.
Yeah, today's not his birthday. It was actually the 15th.
Oh, because of the way they do the legal holidays and all that. But but they said on the news today because someone was referring to his birthday and said he would have been, I think, 90.
Yeah, he was born in 29.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think what's more amazing is the people that were around him and spent quality time with that are still alive. And then you go back and see the pictures of the Reverend Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and guys like that. And it's like you go back to those really early days in Memphis and otherwise, and even on the balcony, and you see who was there and who was around him. It's like those dudes are still alive and they were there. That's pretty
amazing. There was two things when I was growing up that were very influential to me. One of them was the book To Kill a Mockingbird. Mm-hmm. It really changed me as a person. And the way I view things. And then the other thing for me was Martin Luther King Jr. and watching the speeches and reading the stories and learning about his life. And those two things were pretty influential to me. And I put it on my Instagram where it was just a picture of him. And because anytime the question comes up, who would you, alive or dead, if you could have lunch, dinner, spend the day with one person, who would it be? And he's always been my answer. I mean, there's a, you know, if they would say, oh, if you could have three people, obviously there's others like Marvin Gaye and whatnot. But Martin Luther King Jr. was a man that I had always would love to just sit down and not necessarily even talk to, but listen to.
Ed Sullivan, I would definitely want to. I would definitely want to have dinner with Ed Sullivan.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite moment with Ed Sullivan that you remember watching?
He introduced the Beatles. Hello.
Yeah. Besides that, how could you not know that? No, but I totally. Besides that, what would it be? What was another one that you really liked?
Let's see. What else did he do?
I mean, we've got until 125, so. Go ahead. What we can sit here and listen.
Let me think of something. What else? Who else did he bring out? Did Elvis perform on Ed Sullivan's show?
I mean, I'm asking you. Yeah, I'm asking you.
I'm assuming he did.
No.
Because he died in 77, so Elvis, right? So I'm going to go ahead and guess and say Elvis was on that show.
He introduced Elvis to America.
No, he did not. Oh. It was the Beatles.
Oh.
So but I'm sure Elvis would, like, made an appearance at the very minimum.
Okay. Okay. And Gavin, you have a third one?
No.
Maybe when a show made the transition from black and white to color.
Like The Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have said The Rolling Stones.
That might have been some Ed Sullivan.
Do you? Yeah. I see. I feel you.
Big fan.
I'm guessing you guys watched the games?
Yes.
Did you watch the fights?
No.
Did you watch the, I'm guessing you didn't because you were at Adrian Broner fight. Did you have a chance to catch up on the UFC fights either?
Yeah, I mean, TJ Dillashaw being emotional, that fight, I can't believe he lost so quickly. And I saw, what else did I see?
Greg Hardy getting disqualified. Yeah.
Greg Hardy for that cheap, yeah. That was not nice. That was not nice. The illegal knee. So apparently the guy couldn't continue, and that's why he was disqualified, correct?
Yeah.
But I didn't see that fight, so.
Now, I did my homework because obviously we had Trey on from Vortex, and mm-hmm. we talked about the fight, and then I knew the Dillashaw and ESPN and the whole deal about their first UFC on the ESPN Plus
yeah,
and
Mick
all Maynard that.
Sent out numbers on being their first fight. It was ridiculous.
They did well?
Yeah.
So I was doing my homework, but the ironic thing to me was the first video I watched was the video that you're talking about that we mentioned that we're going to actually play too, was Broner's interview post-fight with Jim Gray. After watching that interview, I thought, oh, dude was in it. Oh, it was a hell of a fight. Oh, it was. No. And then when I went back and just read the lead story, I was like, what happened between the disconnect between what happened and what his interview said?
We had Trey from Vortex on, a trainer.
Right. Who's a really
very knowledgeable on boxing and a great trainer. And we had him on, and he, to a T, described exactly how the fight was going to go. And it is exact. He was 1,000% right in everything he said. Like, he talked about the fact that Adrian Broner stands still, and he's a counterpuncher, and that Manny Pacquiao would use his feet and combinations to move in, let off some punches, that nobody was in danger of being knocked out. Obviously, it's boxing. Anybody can get knocked out. But he thought Broner might get in some shots, but that he didn't. There's no way that Manny Pacquiao was losing this fight because of his footwork, because of his combinations. And I'd be damned if that is not exactly what happened. I mean, this dude is like, we've had Trey on twice now to talk about fights. He's 2 for 2 in exactly predicting how the fight would go and then it going that way. It was amazing.
Yeah, he drilled
I'm
the
watching
first
it going,
one, too.
I hate this guy for being this accurate. Yeah. It was disgusting.
I mean, he got outclassed. He got outclassed. And I couldn't agree with AJ more. A washed up, past his prime version of Manny Pacquiao would totally outclass Adrian Broner in his prime. And that's exactly what you saw. Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. And I didn't realize the discrepancy until I saw it in person. But I didn't, Vegas knew.
Yeah, and Vegas I didn't knew. Realize, I mean, at 40, it surprised me that Pacquiao still had the stamina, the legs, and the wind to be able to do what he did. Now, you could tell he was not the same Pacquiao that you watched in years past. You could definitely tell that. I felt like there were times during the fight he couldn't take advantage of some situations because being a little older, a little slower, and maybe a little more drained energy-wise as opposed to being in his 30s. Because there was a couple times where he hurt Adrian Broner, but he tried to follow up, but he couldn't sustain. I mean, he would let off a flurry of punches, 5, 6, or 7, but then he would have to stop and he would have to reset and do it again. And you kind of felt like some of that had to do with his ability to just maintain that energy level.
Like 2 or 3 times he had him in trouble.
Yeah. But I tell you what, it was not an entertaining fight, but it wasn't close either. And Adrian Broner afterwards talking about the fact that he should have won it was absolutely ridiculous. And to your point about the interview, my favorite part was the way Jim Gray handled it. First of all, right after the interview, and we have that, we're going to play it in just a second, but what you don't hear in this interview is that right after the fight, Jim Gray goes and interviews Manny Pacquiao, and of course he's Manny Pacquiao. He's calm, he's eloquent, he's everything you'd expect Manny Pacquiao to be. And as he goes over to Adrian Broner, Adrian Broner's first words, "Get over here, MF-er." And Jim Gray immediately says, "Listen, we're going to conduct this interview as professionals or we're not going to do it."
Yeah.
That's exactly what he says to him.
I didn't hear that part.
And then the interview starts and it goes
good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. And so he says that and then the interview starts and it sounded something like this.
What did you think about the fight?
I beat him. Everybody out there know I beat him. Everybody out there know I beat him. I controlled the fight. He was missing. I hit him clean more times. I beat him.
You averaged 8 punches. Less than 8 punches was the most punches that you had in the round, and it seemed as though you couldn't get
it
close enough.
It already sounded like you was against me, so I already ain't got a fair shake talking to you. But let me talk something. Let me let y'all know. I want to thank the whole hood who came out here. I love y'all. I did this for the hood. Y'all know I beat that boy. Y'all know I beat that boy. What they trying to do is get that money again with Pacquiao and Floyd. But it's cool. I ain't worrying about it. I'm still that nigga, man. I'm on top. Cincinnati, stand up. West Side. 2-5.
You're 3-3-1 in your last 7 fights. What will you do next?
Hey, I'm 3-3-1 my last 7, but I'll be 7-0 against you.
Well, that wouldn't mean much. That's the end of this interview.
That's so great. point. Why on earth would you? Yeah, I would be 7-0 against you, man, who has never boxed in his life.
Who's 80 years old. Yeah, calm down, bro.
First of all, my favorite part about all this is not the way Jim Gray handled it by saying, well, that wouldn't mean much, which is hilarious. But if you looked on Instagram and Twitter, collectively, he was like, this is for the hood. The hood was like, hey. Leave us out of this, man. That looked bad.
I think the other, if you just listen to it, like if you're out there driving around and you just listen to it, you didn't see it. I could also say Kevin Hart could imitate that guy at some point and have a field
day.
Oh,
good
that,
call.
That is a good call.
It sounds like it really does. Close to Kevin Hart.
Yeah, I didn't even think about
that. He
kind
of does, but I was thinking he does kind of sound like somebody and I couldn't make out. That's a good call.
It is a good call.
Don't you also think that because we had the whole Bernstein thing leading up to the fight with the press conference, that Jim Gray was kind of prepped, ready for it as well? Like, okay, this guy's kind of a loose cannon. He went at Al.
He's always been like that, though. He's flamboyant. So, yeah, I would imagine Jim Gray was prepared to put up with some nonsense and post-fight if he lost.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw what he did to Al Bernstein.
Yeah, like, that's what I was saying. He knew that there was going to be, if he lost, that Adrian Broner was going to be a little outspoken, because he usually is.
Could you imagine if he won, though? Oh, my God. Man.
It would have been.
You wouldn't have been able to shut him up.
It might have been worse than what that interview was. But I just, that was a funny interview, and props to Jim Gray for being able to handle it like a professional.
Jim Gray's done a lot of things over his career, including the one thing he'll never live down, which was the LeBron announcement.
Oh, yeah.
But other than that, good comeback there. He'll get some runoff of that.
Oh, he has, yeah. It took over, so.
There you go. All right, I guess we'll take a break. Got a half hour in. We broke the ice, but now it's time to get down to business. Let's talk about some football. Let's talk about everything that happened. First guy, unfortunately, that I thought of after the first game was our man Clarence.
That's the first thing you thought of?
When the Saints, obviously, I'm thinking about all the Saints fans that I know are going to be crushed by this. Clarence was at the top of the list.
Okay.
So, all right, we got just a half hour into the big show, still 2.5 hours to go. Don't go anywhere. It's much more The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, half hour into The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, and Joel on a holiday Monday as we work for you to hopefully entertain you throughout your day, whether you have to work or not. So the football games.
What happened?
So there was some football games.
No.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to spend the next hour breaking down UFC and then the last 2 hours Rockets.
Is that 4 hours? Because I don't know if I got that much time.
You know what? I never said I was good at math.
I was going to say, if people, you were talking about last week about if we could do a broadcast for without commercials for three hours. Sure. But six? Four? You might have to start worrying about some things then. So the first game, we'll go in order.
Sure.
But obviously the one that everybody's talking about. The Saints-Rams game. I was worried early on that it was going to turn out to be just a dud. And then it got interesting, and then, of course, at the end, it got really interesting, and there's so much to pull and dissect from this game, from the fact that everybody's going to concentrate on that one play.
But that one play mattered.
And it did. I'm not saying it didn't.
Bro, they run out the clock, chip shot, field goal, game over, Saints in the Super Bowl. That play meant everything.
I'm not saying it didn't, but I'm saying there's also other things in a game that happen that people also... we can talk about. I mean, not high pointing a ball on a ball that was thrown up for grabs that ends up putting him in that position where all you got to do is knock it away, or he looked like he was trying to pick it off, but instead he just completely fell asleep and let Ted Ginn Jr. get in front of him. I mean, everybody, obviously from an official's perspective, I mean, the drive before, Goff's going in and the Rams are driving, he gets there's a face mask on him. The whistle doesn't blow, and the Rams, if they get that and they get a first down and they're in the red zone and they're close, what happens if they score? So there's lots of different things to be happening, but I'm not denying the fact that obviously that game, that play was awful, and it decided the game, and that's a shame.
It did. Did you see the tweet from Michael Thomas?
I did not.
He tweets out Rule 17, Section 2, Article 3. He @s the NFL and then puts a broken heart and a fleur-de-lis, which is the Saints mm-hmm. logo. That Rule 17, Section 2, Article 3, this is what it says. Article 3, penalties for unfair acts. The commissioner's power under this section to include the imposition of monetary fines and draft choices, forfeitures, suspensions of persons involved in unfair acts, and, if appropriate, the reversal of a game's result or the scheduling of a or the rescheduling of a game, either from the beginning or from the point in which the extraordinary act occurred. In the event of a rescheduling of the game, commissioner will be guided by the procedures here. In all cases, the commissioner will conduct a full investigation, including opportunity for hearings, use of game video, and other procedures the commission deems appropriate. Basically saying that if the commissioner really wanted to, he could go back and say, you know what, that was that cost them a trip to the Super Bowl. Pass interference from there, we pick up the game from that spot. It's never going to happen.
Right.
Why have the rule? It's never going to happen in the history of the NFL. They're not. They've never done anything like that, and they never would. But the fact of the matter is, there's something out there that exists that would allow the commissioner to do that. But unfortunately for Saints fans, it ain't happening.
I wrote an article for Sports Map last night because it was such a prevalent thing. And it's, you know what, when you think about it, and you and I have sat on this show and we've talked about the strike zone in baseball and replayed and reviewed calls in baseball that even when we see with the replay, they still don't call it right. And the NBA, with all their transparency, all they're doing is bringing attention to the fact that they're awful and they've blown a lot of calls because there's no way that they never go back and they pick it, you know, because if you protest, the only way they can go back in the NBA and replay it from a certain point is if one of the teams protests and the protest, and it's rare. It's happened like once or twice in the last 20 years. But that's the same thing with this in football. It kept sticking with me, and you keep thinking to yourself, I mean, the fact that Peyton got, you could read his lips on the sideline. At one point, he goes, that's a Super Bowl call you guys just blew. Mm-hmm. And then for his first actions after game, when obviously if you lose a heartbreaking game, you go and you talk to your team and you kind of go off to the side for a second because you know you're going to have to face the media. Well, the fact that he was on the phone with the NFL and the first thing in his press conference was, they just told me they blew it. Mm-hmm. And they blew it not only with pass interference, helmet to helmet, you know, face, all the different things that they said. And you didn't hear the NFL deny any of that either. And you're like, yeah, man, that was awful.
It's too obvious of a missed call. That's why. I mean, I think the NFL kind of had to admit the replays that were played, the angle. I mean, it was just so, it wasn't a situation like in the Patriots game where we weren't quite sure. Like that ball in real time looked like it touched him. But when you look back in different angles, you can tell that it was like 100% not touched. But but over there, or I mean, it looked more questionable over in the Saints game. It didn't look questionable at all. You know, it looked like a missed non-PI call.
Robbie Coleman even said, yeah, is it Robbie or Roby?
Roby,
yeah. That was definitely a pass interference.
He apologized to Saints fans.
He was like, yep, they should have called that. Like, that lets you know right there. And
Did you watch the whole game?
Yeah.
He did that more than once and got away with it. In the first half, there was at least one that was really, really, really noticeable. But there were two others that I can remember where he had early contact. They didn't call it. But yeah, Josina Anderson to ask him flat out, and he's like, man, as soon as I hit him, and then I heard the crowd started to groan, I was like, oh, I'm in trouble.
He said that I was expecting a flag.
Yep.
And there's not one.
And how many times does the team, man. I give him credit for that, because how many times does the team that end up on the right side of a call like that just go,
admit,
yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I thought I played the ball. And
it would be pretty silly to come out and say, no, that wasn't pass interference when there's no, this isn't a 90% chance that it was. Like, that, by rule, by definition, that was pass interference. He wasn't finding the ball. He was knocking the guy down. The ball wasn't there yet. It wasn't a tackle. I mean, by the rules, by the definition, the letter of the law, it was absolutely pass interference. So to deny it would be silly.
Did you say he wasn't even looking at the quarterback?
No!
Yeah.
He was diving into helmet-to-helmet contact. The ball hit him in the back, basically. That's just that.
Well, and the other thing that I saw was someone said, did TV enhance it too much? Was it less obvious from the naked eye, trying to defend the official? Someone, they got everybody's cell phone video that was shooting during the game. Someone was upper deck in that corner looking right down on it.
And you could still
You can see it plain as day.
Yeah, that's bad. If I'm Sean Payton, I'm telling you guys, we didn't lose this game.
Well, NFL that did. Means, yeah.
You know, that I would say that.
But that means nothing
yeah,
to
that's
you,
the
though.
Thing.
I would say that, though. You're, the game's over. Well, you can't did. Change it. You I can't mean, change that.
To come out and say that the NFL basically told me they blew it is everyone involved right. is saying, hey, we screwed up, but we can't do anything about it. Now, you're still making some assumptions that the field goal doesn't get blocked, assuming they don't score a touchdown. If he kicks the field goal, that he makes it, that it's not blocked. There's still some assumptions. It's not 100% guarantee that if that PI is called, the Saints win. It's pretty damn
pretty close,
though.
Right? I think they said something like 90-some percent if it's called and they have a first down there.
Yeah.
Because they can run it down to like, what, 10, 15 seconds?
Exactly. Chip shot. Yeah, all
but
that.
But let's
all
also,
that.
For as much as we're sympathizing with Sean Payton, the one thing that he does need to face some scrutiny on is you got a first down and you're already going to set the table for almost what you're saying with a little bit more time on the clock because you're already in field goal range, and he decides to pass the ball more than once. He stops the clock and does the Rams huge favors enough so that there was enough time on the clock so they could. If you just run the ball into the middle of the line three times, mm-hmm. you're still pretty much sitting what you were describing in terms of little to no time on the clock, and you're going to be up 3 points.
How about Zuerlein, too, with the was it 57 yards?
Yeah.
And he bangs it on the back of the net.
Could have been done. I said from 70, that would have been good.
Is that how far it is from the back of the net? Because it was above the crossbar when it hit the back of
I'm
the net.
I'm just judging by when it crossed the from the crossbar camera up. It was more than halfway up when it went through the uprights, and you're like, damn, that was kicked.
Yeah, that was legit. So, I mean.
Did you guys also see that someone used the wrong Twitter handle and gave Lance Zuerlein credit for the kick? And he's like, I mean, I'm just trying to do what I can do.
Just trying to be the best teammate I can be.
Fantastic.
Totally missed that.
Yeah, that was great.
That's funny.
All right, we got calls lining up on the first of the two games that we will discuss. And obviously, I'm sure there's a lot more of you that have a lot on your mind you want to get off your chest. We are here for you. It is the usual suspects. It is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Needy, hour number one, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always a pleasure to have you along for the ride on a holiday Monday. Happy MLK Day. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio. We just kind of popped the top on the NFL playoffs and got into this Saints-Rams game. And obviously, for a lot of reasons, a lot of people around these parts have a lot of extra interest. There's a lot of, we're close to Louisiana as it is, but a lot of Saints fans in the area, a lot of people with a lot to say about the big game yesterday.
Yeah. You can't blame them for being, if you're a Saints fan, for being upset.
Nope.
I don't know who it was, somebody posted on Twitter, like the big Saints losses against the Seahawks, Niners, the Vikings.
Man, yeah, I was going to say, just, last year, if you parlay last year and this year and what they've had to endure, that's pretty rough stuff, man.
Would you? Okay, here's a would you rather. Now, you're a Green Bay fan, so you've experienced.
I was going to say, because the one thing I got into a back and forth with a few people on was, I kind of had that feeling after what happened in that debacle with Seattle in the NFC Championship a few years ago, but back to back, man.
Would you rather be Texans fan who there was just no doubt your team got bounced, or would you rather be Saints fan that got a little further and got robbed from a Super Bowl victory or a Super Bowl appearance?
I'm gonna say, Nick, I don't know what you're gonna say. I'm gonna say Saints fan simply because you got a built-in alibi, an excuse for as long as you want it.
But doesn't that sting more? Because you know your team should be in the Super Bowl.
But it
right
also
now.
Justifies just how good you were. Whereas if you're a Texans fan, you're like, you want to believe this team with the 9 in a row in the regular season. You want to believe this team was playoff ready and it was going to go deeper than it ever been before. And then you get your ass handed to you and you're like, yeah, I got nothing to say. I mean, we got thumped.
Right. But you're like, okay, we got thumped. We got a higher draft pick. We started 0-3. We made it to the as opposed to, my team should be in the Super Bowl this in 2 weeks.
I like the fact because you don't get the higher draft pick. They still had a great regular season. They won the division, which is even a double kick in the grapes. But to me, it's like at least I can say, hey, man, you want to start talking about you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. But the bottom line is, we would have beat y'all. We should have been, not only should we have been there, we would have beaten New England. I think you got a lot more where you can feel good about your team as opposed to saying, well, they came into our house and just whooped us.
I think I'm happy to be a Texans fan, to be honest.
Okay, you're going that route?
I am happy to be a Texans fan and not having my team get screwed out of the Super Bowl.
Nicholas?
I'd be okay if I was a Saints fan because at least Drew Brees has a Super Bowl. But I think the only thing about...
No. This is just now. This is just like you get your choice. You can be cheated out of a Super Bowl appearance by a bad call or get thumped in the playoffs and bounced and know you deservedly lost.
And I think a part of my reason why I would be a Saints fan is because at least you have a Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That would be my rationale behind it. So.
Huh.
But yeah, I mean, I just feel like they've had more success, and you want to see that. I mean, a lot of those fans were absolutely excited watching that game. I mean, at least you got that far. Now, the part where you start saying you have a built-in excuse, I think a part of the reason why it stings more is because that other fan base is going to make a million and one excuses as to why they should have been the team that beat your team, you know? Yeah. And that's going to hurt more. That's going to sting more. But I'd still rather have a more successful team.
Okay. I'll tell you what really bothers me. I got a friend that's a huge Rams fan, huge pro LA guy, and he really annoys. I mean, he pisses people off on social media because it's so braggadocious. But even Dodgers, Astros, it was all about we're just going to roll your Astros and thump you because you guys suck and everything like that. And I was like, oh, he's going to have to be humble on this one and at least admit that without the blown call, you know, you got a little lucky. No, he's posting the emojis of the muscular arms and saying, you know what, that just prolonged the inevitable. But we were always going to win that game and we're going to go out and trounce the. I was like, dude. It's a bad look as it is, but that's just ugly. When you don't try and convince the world of what something you don't even know when you go to bed at night. You didn't have that game in the palm of your hand.
Jason on the text line said, I'm a Saints fan. Thump me, please. Yeah, it's got to stink so bad. Oh, my God. Like, especially if you're diehard. Like, the Clarences and Tracy Cowleys of the world.
Yeah, must just both of them.
But she's actually, I think she's a Niners fan.
Yeah, you're right. She is.
But, yeah.
But, I God, mean, and the thing stink. Is... Ironically, a lot of the suspects are very familiar with the fact that Clarence is, because I saw a lot of tweets just like, Clarence, you okay? Are you alive? You know, because he went kind of radio silent, which I don't blame him for once it all went down. And then I think it was like an hour after the game or something, he tweeted, and I think a lot of people went,
Steelers fan, why? Okay. He's like, I wonder how many faithful suspects thought of Clarence after that BS no call.
There you go.
Plenty.
Yeah. Plenty. I think a lot of people did. Yeah, honestly, I've got a lot of friends over the years that are Saints fans, but because of the show, first name that I thought about was, oh, I hope Clarence is okay.
It's a tough watch. It's a tough watch if you're a Saints fan, for sure.
And then, like I said, go back and think about the year before. You should have been there in the same game a year ago. Ugh. And what do they call it? The Minneapolis Miracle or whatever.
But I would rather lose like that. I think that's just a guy that missed a tackle, that made a bad play.
Fluky?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? That was decided by the players on the field, and one player didn't make a play, and the others two did. Good pass, good catch, touchdown. But at least the players decided it.
I get that.
The officials decided this game.
But I was just going to say, well, you know, even I could say everything that you said except for the fact that the players decided the game on the field goal. I mean, it was just, you know, it's a human nature. It's a referee. He missed a call. It happens. You're going to miss calls. You just kind of got to deal with it.
This was interesting, too. Saints, this is a text. Saints getting theirs after a blown PI against the Steelers. Nothing's perfect, but it's sweet comeuppance for Steelers fans.
I can see that too.
Yeah.
You know how badly I wanted everything to go against the Seahawks for years after that whole NFC Championship game. Because again, you got to hear, my brother-in-law is a Seahawks fan, and he was classy about it, but his friends weren't.
No.
Because, I mean, you would have thought that they dominated and whooped Green Bay's ass up and down the field all the way through overtime, but if you felt what I felt, I totally get what you're saying.
And then there's, of course, the Dez caught a text coming in now.
Oh, boy. which I've said all along, he did, but you still would lose the game.
Yeah, well.
Let's get some of these calls out of the way.
All right, let's do it.
Lawrence called, hung up, called back. We appreciate you. Lawrence, what do you got?
Lawrence.
Hello?
Yo, what's up, Lawrence?
Hey, I watched both of the games, and it was bad calls all over.
Yes.
But is it just me? But the scariest thing in the world is when you see Tom Brady standing up, where the minute and a half left, That's one of the scariest sites. I hang up and listen.
203 left, yep. And I tweeted it out, as did 1,000 or 1,000,000 other people. That's too much time for Tom Brady. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows if Tom Brady has 2 minutes, 1.5 minutes, maybe even 50 seconds, that he can put together a drive and get you down there and get what he needs to get for his team to win, go to overtime, whatever. That was just, yeah, that was one of those things where you thought, oh, hell, here we go again. The legend of Brady is about to grow as if that's even possible, and it did.
And why, when I saw right when you tweeted that out, I was thinking about that post game interview he did in the game previous, and he was talking about, oh, everybody says we suck and we can't win games, and that's exactly what I was thinking on that last drive. I'm like, all right, the angry but cool, calm, collected Brady is about to come out and just, come at you with a storm.
He always says the right thing, but you know deep down behind the scenes, he's just this ball of anger and hate that he wants to win and he feels disrespected.
He uses that as external motivation.
His whole career is based off of that.
Yeah, and he uses the external motivation to like, you know, this year, because he really had everybody. And if you saw post game, a female reporter was like, you know, she asked the first question about, you know, him saying what you just said about, yeah, we suck and everybody is down on us and everything like that. And he goes, I mean, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of people that were saying a lot of things and everything. Like, she goes, I mean, really, do you think that we believe that? Do you really believe that? You're still Tom Brady and you still play for the Patriots. And he had this long pause and there's just this crap-eating grin on his face. And he was like, yeah. And that was it. That's all he had to say. Because... was it 18 years? One really doesn't count because he didn't play the whole year. He was out. 13 appearances in the AFC Championship game? That's 8 in a row?
That's going to be super hard to repeat.
And we focus on Brady and what he's accomplished. If you're a Chiefs fan, you got to be feeling really good about yourself that not only did Brady do Brady things, but Patrick Mahomes led them down and got that field goal and... They did things too. Like, you have to look at your team at least from a standpoint of skill position players and what you have going forward and realize we have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And this is this kid's first full year in the NFL.
To your point, that dude
played his ass off.
The other point you just made too?
Yeah.
If you're the Rams and the Chiefs, you should feel that
absolutely.
Way. Absolutely. Because we were just talking about Brady, and even if he had 50 seconds or left, both Goff and Mahomes matriculated the ball down the field in less than a minute to get scores when they needed them in crunch time. So if you're a fan base, you're one of those fan bases, you should be really excited.
I mean,
there's no doubt about it.
When you figure what the Chiefs had yardage-wise in the first half and Mahomes finishes with 300 yards passing, unbelievable.
Yeah, no doubt.
Unbelievable. That kid's amazing.
So we'll get more into the second game. And, of course, field your comments, questions, and remarks regarding those games and other things. 713-780-3776, HRNP, listener line, call, text, hit us on Twitter. Hour number two right around the corner. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.